reconvene for the administrative portion of our meeting. We have one item on the consent calendar and we'll approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and then for the first item under discussion is about a AG opinion request. I'll turn it over to Brian Johnson.
So Jonathan upstairs is out, otherwise he would be here explaining it to you. But there is...
listeners, Reclamation Division.
Reclamation Division, correct, yes. So there's an interesting thing that has come up with rare earth minerals, critical minerals. And it kind of comes into a question whether it's our jurisdiction or Industrial Commission's jurisdiction, where I think it fits better. But we have to get a jurisdictional determination that it's not our jurisdiction for OSM. Normally we do our own, but since they won't accept that, we'll have to ask the Attorney General's office to make that jurisdictional determination for us. So what we're looking for is authorization to draft that letter for your guys' approval, and then we can either that letter can come from the commission or it can come from the agency through the director. So we're just looking for the guidance on how we want that letter to go down as well.
And tell me if I'm understanding this right. This isn't what most people think of, where like two agencies are fighting over who has jurisdiction over something and each wanting to do a power play. I think we and the Industrial Commission both view this as Industrial Commission jurisdiction. However, the feds need a decision and they won't accept it coming from us. And so we need to go to the Attorney General's office, correct?
That's correct. And the only reason it kind of even comes into our jurisdiction is because through this extraction method, they're going down deep, and I'm not 100% sure on it, but it's more like an oil well type situation than strip mining. They go down and they bring up coal, and then they extract this minerals out of it. So because there's a threshold of coal being brought up, that's why there's a question of, are we supposed to be involved in it too? And it you're right. I think we're not arguing that it is. It's just we have to have that answer question for them, or question answered for them.
So what do you need from us?
Would you like that letter to a request for an opinion to go down as coming from the three commissioners, or do you want it to go through just the agency and Jonathan as the director?
I suppose it might show some unanimity if we all sign on.
Sure. Yeah,
I guess I'm open to advice if we have strong precedent one way or the other, but
I think it's the Attorney General's
commission. I think it would show that level of unanimity.
Legally,
an agreement on it.
Yeah, legally, I don't think it really makes a difference, but I think it coming from the commission is very appropriate.
No, I know the three of us have some off-site conflicts in coming days here. What's the timing of this, though? Is us signing it going to hold this up too long?
No, I don't believe so. No, I think we should be able to have that drafted shortly, and then we'll be able to, after everybody's comfortable with it, get signatures and send it down.
And we could always authorize someone to sign.
Correct, yep.
On orders, so.
Yep.
Okay.
I will work with Jonathan. We'll get that down there, or get that written, approved, and down as soon as we can.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
The next one is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission advance notice of proposed rulemaking.
Victor. Thanks for not saying the acronyms.
No sense of adventure.
So this one started out from the Department of Energy. They directed the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to initiate rulemaking to consider presenting potential reforms to ensure the timely and orderly interconnection of large loads to the transmission system. So there's some, as you read through the advanced notice of proposed rulemaking, there are some things that I like and there's some things that I don't like quite as much. The intention of adding this to the agenda is that it's a relatively quick turn on this. The initial comments are due November 14th, reply comments due November 28th. Really try to just gauge the interest level of whether you would like to file initial comments, reply comments, both. And then if one of you would want to kind of, if so, one of you want to take lead on that and have staff coordinate. And then we would, obviously, once we get those closer to ready to file, we would shop those with all three of you to see if there's any major issues. So the initial is just to kind of gauge the interest level of whether you think we need to file initial or reply comments or both.
The first stage is making sure that we are filed as
as intervening.
I don't think I had my mic on. The first step is to make sure that we're an intervener or whatever the term is on this. And
correct.
So we're proceeding with that, right?
Correct. Either way, we will file as interveners to preserve our opportunity to do whatever we would like to do.
I think we first should define for those listening. In the past, we've talked about large load being 50 megawatts or greater. This identifies the large load as 20 megawatts.
Yep.
And so that was quite a change.
I would agree that that's one of the areas I have concerns with, is that that's a very low threshold for defining something as a large load.
Yeah. Victor, identify your other concerns. I mean, you and I briefly discussed this about jurisdictional, then I think we can determine if we want to file initial comments or
sure.
wait.
So I'll just kind of walk through. It won't take very long, maybe just a few minutes here. Most of the initial pages of this ANOPR are just kind of establishing some history, which honestly, it's a great history lesson on some of the Federal Power Act and some of the previous FERC orders. So it's a worthwhile read. It's not terribly lengthy. My concerns start with hybrid facilities. So on item number 20 on page 11, they're specifying load and hybrid facilities should be studied together with generation facilities. I don't disagree generally with the concept. It's more so in the specific implementation of how you are counting those and what kind of rights someone has. So if you have, and further down actually, it specifies an example of where you have a 600 megawatt generator and a 500 megawatt load. If you are going to study those together, in theory, that really just looks more like a 100 megawatt generator. Well, what is reality going to be? Is that, are both of them going to be running at the exact same time all of the time? Or are you going to be pulling 500 megawatts from the system or injecting 600 megawatts into the system or anything in between? Those details are very important to, you know, the reliability of the system. So, again, the concept I don't disagree with, but the specifics around how that would function would be very important. So that's something, you know, they don't specify necessarily one way or the other, but it's just something that I think is important.
Do you think with the rulemaking that they would come out and address that unless it's brought to, I mean, hopefully they would address it, but do you think we need to bring it to their attention that this needs further clarification?
Not necessarily. I think it would be covered by their, you know, so after this advance notice comments are done, I would imagine some period of time for them to consider all the comments and then them to come out with a regular NOPR, notice of proposed rulemaking, with the actual proposed rules that would hopefully include that, and there would be another opportunity to comment at that time. And you know, this doesn't necessarily need to be spelled out in initial comments. You know, if, depending on where commenters are, what commenters are saying, maybe we can handle it in reply comments rather than filing initial comments. You know, that gives us a little bit more time to consider exactly what we'd like to say and how.
Isn't this request more directed to the RTOs versus the individual states on fast tracking coming down from Trump to DOE, DOE to FERC, FERC
sure.
now to the RTOs?
I think there's an it definitely seems like there's an expectation that there's comments from the RTOs, which it seems like I'm expecting those from MISO. I haven't seen anything directly from SPP, but I would assume they would be filing something as well. But yeah, it would be surprising if they don't. Yeah. I'll just kind of continue here.
I know within SPP, some of the states intend to, and some didn't seem like they intended to.
Yeah, they may be adopting that more approach of kind of see where this goes before spending time on saying words. Same page, item number 22. This is kind of a similar theory of, you know, the hybrid facility. The same idea, you must be limited to whatever has been studied and, you know, essentially paid for as far as the interconnection rights. You know, so if you have that combo of a 600 megawatt generator, 500 megawatt load, if you want to withdraw 500 megawatts from the system, you better have a transmission service request that appropriately studied the system and you paid for upgrades necessary for you to withdraw 500 megawatts and vice versa. If you are planning to inject 600 megawatts, you better have a generator interconnection agreement where you paid for the upgrades necessary for you to inject that amount of energy. Next page, item number 23. This kind of gets to where I'm a little bit more comforted, where they're suggesting operational limitations should be considered on injections and withdrawals and potentially even penalties for not following by those limitations. So I like that approach. But again, this is relatively high level to the specific operation of the grid. So depending on the details of it, we could or could not have concerns. Just very much depends. Item number 24, same page. Last sentence I'm very concerned about. Appropriate deadlines for expedited study processes, including whether they can be completed in 60 days. I appreciate the nature of their intending to make this as quick as possible, and I don't disagree that we should try to make it as quick as possible. That is just sounds right absolutely absurd. It's just too fast to do a reasonable study.
Well, who can get it done in that time?
Right.
You know, we heard from MISO and SPP about their changes in the queue and trying to speed that up. Where are we at in the RTO world realm on that? Is it being implemented or?
They're working to really clear their existing queues, but what they've kind of, both of them have created a expedited process to get more important things through. So the ERIS process exists in both MISO and SPP now, and it's intended to kick through, you know, these things we absolutely need, and here's, you know, somebody signing off saying, I agree, they need to get this online right away. So that kind of helps the things that have high importance to them get through the queue quicker. I think they're both still looking at other kind of queue reform things, because part of the problem with the queue is the speculative interconnection requests where one generator, and it could be any type of generator, will submit multiple requests to try to kind of shop around of where's the best spot for me to hook this thing up so I get a better deal.
Where can I go?
Right. So
who's approving?
They've done a number of things, but there's certainly more for them to do in making sure the entrance fees and exit fees and all those kinds of things are high enough to discourage those kinds of activities.
I think you explained that well. I know on the SPP side in particular, the ERIS process has moved a bunch of stuff along. But yes, there it is. It's like our political system. It's not made to go fast for a good reason. So you're not continuously bouncing back and forth and just hurrying and adding something because it sounds good for the moment, and later you have regrets and tens or hundreds of thousands of people or millions of people have to pay for it for decades. This is meant to go slow, and every time the costs become clear and someone drops out of the queue,
that changes the whole model for everybody else then. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of start over again. And so other than being a, at least more toward the reckless side than what we have traditionally been, there's it's just going to take a long time for this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and I think when I read this, I mean, Victor, you, I think, had it exactly right, that this is very broad and high level, and I think it's going to be one of those things where, like, the devil is really going to be in the details. And I guess what I'm looking to understand is, like, what about the current system that we have, either through SPP or MISO, is not equipped to handle these large load interconnections? Because to me, it's like, that's how we're going to define actually what the perceived problem is and make sure that we're meeting it appropriately. Because I agree with you that there's some stuff in here that I think could help. There's also stuff in here that I have a lot of questions over as far as what does this mean for our role as the states and our ability here to control costs for our ratepayers, or is this going to be something where everything is now just going to be passed through from a higher RTO level and we don't have that ability to really dig in and analyze and make sure that they're just and reasonable.
Right.
And I think the other thing that our state commission especially has done exceptionally well is be fair and reasonable in our regulatory process. And at the federal government, what you're seeing is there's a lot of swings back and forth, which is leading to a lot of uncertainty. And so for me, in a regulatory framework, uncertainty is never a good thing. So those are the concerns I have here. And some of the things as we talk about this more, you know, they say we want, you know, any costs or interconnection costs that result from this, you know, will be paid for by, you know, essentially like the large load customer, which I think is appropriate in theory. The question is if you're moving this fast, are you actually going to be able to accurately capture and know all the costs at that point? Or is there going to be a cost shifting later on because, you know, we just didn't have the process correct? So,
yeah.
Well, I think that goes down to the RTO, their modeling on how they're doing cost allocation and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, good point. I understand what you're saying. I agree with you. It's like nothing is permanent.
Yep. Yep.
So that's what's scary, and now fast tracking this is going to be.
Right. And one other thing I tried to keep in mind as I read through this is this may not be directed at our general region. You know, this is, you know, across the entire country. So SPP and MISO, in my opinion, have good processes in place today for the interconnection of things such as this. I don't think there's any terrible delays within those processes for, you know, for a load specifically. So this may be directed at a different area of the United States that has problems with these types of things. So that's something I'm trying to keep in mind of. They may be asking about these things that we've already been thinking about for years and have approved tariff language in place for how they work. So it's just something to absolutely keep in mind.
I will say this without anything being explicit. I sense at SPP that even though I agree with you that MISO and SPP have pretty good processes in place, I sense that the board and staff get pressured a lot by these large load developers to be even faster. I mean, they would like it to be like, we just call you up and tell you we're starting construction tomorrow and you somehow magically make it all happen. And by the way, all the costs should be assigned to the general public. And so while we might view them as good processes, I think there's a lot of very wealthy push to get much faster.
Yep. I think you're correct. just to kind of finish out my thoughts on some of the concerns and Possibly. So the 60 days is too quick. And then further, so again, page 12, item number 25. So it starts out saying positive things. Load and hybrid facilities should be responsible for 100% of the network upgrades that they are assigned through the interconnection studies. Then it says, we see comment on whether such costs should be offset through a crediting mechanism, and if so, over how many years? Then my note to myself was no exclamation point. That's the opposite of what we should be considering.
Can you condense that for him?
Yeah, that's just an absolute non-starter for... I don't even know how you would, with a straight face, come up with something like that. But anyway, next page, item number 26, page 13, to the extent the interconnection customer is not the transmission owner, the interconnection customer shall be afforded the same or equivalent option to build as currently provided to generator interconnection customers. I have some concerns about that just because these are not utility companies that would be likely interconnecting. So... they're not going to be experienced with how the utility companies build transmission infrastructure. And one example I kind of come up to is at the data center in Ellendale, you can see some of their infrastructure that they had to construct on site to move this, you know, what we would consider a large amount of power around the site. And it looks perfectly safe. However, it doesn't look like utility infrastructure. It just looks different. If you kind of just look at the, you know, they have some poles with lines on it, it doesn't look the same. And what I would have concerns with is its compatibility with other utility infrastructure in the long term, where if you have these various companies using different, MDU, Otter Tail, NSP, they've been building utility infrastructure for lots and lots of decades. So they use similar compatible known equipment, facilities, transmission, all those kinds of things, versus some data center doesn't have those decades of experience and they might find some alternative source for some part that is not compatible with other parts of the system. So that would be one concern I guess I would have with allowing them to build, you know, transmission upgrades or transmission lines.
They're not utility
companies. Right, and they're not utilities. In the traditional sense, and that brings into question, you know, siting processes. You know, within our state siting law, a utility has to cite things. If you're not a utility, you may not have to. So it opens up a new door of questions.
Although I would say, if you're putting electricity out into the grid, you're a utility. But I don't know what the legal answer to that is.
Right.
With the exception maybe of solar panels in the garage through PURPA. So there's already an exception there.
Right. I think that's about it. I mean, I had a couple other notes, but they're very along the exact same lines of, you know, just pump the brakes a little bit, slow down so we can consider this appropriately. Speed.
I think you make a lot of good points that we're probably going to want on the record. I think the question for us today is, do we want them in by a week from now for the initial round, or do we want to include them as responses? I think is our big question.
Yep, I would agree.
It seems like a fast turnaround to get them in a week.
It is.
But
it is, and I think that's the whole intent of this thing. It's fast track. They want this implemented within in 2026. So you brought up 6 points. I think 6 points are very valid. With it fast tracking, I think they need to hear all the concerns, and I guess I would like to see that we do draft something and submit it. But I'll listen to the rest.
In the initial round?
Yes. Yep. But I'm open to discussion. I think you brought up very good points, Victor, and I think we've been talking about them. And I don't want to assume that someone else is going to bring it up.
This is maybe more a question for legal, but is there, like, is the main point that we get our concerns on the record, regardless of, it doesn't, so from that, from the standpoint of, it doesn't matter what the time frame is, as long as you meet it and it's on the record? Or is there some implication to, like, having it be under the initial round versus the reply round? Or doesn't it matter as long as it's on the record?
And can I add something to that question? Sometimes there's an advantage in saving your arguments till the end, because if we say something and then someone else in the response contradicts it, and then there's not a chance for us to reply, and they incorrectly contradict it, they kind of had the last word then. And so, as part of that question, is there even benefit in wait? I just don't
we get
know
a chance stuff. To reply. I mean, if we submit, then people are going to reply. We'll be able to read all them, and we can reply to the comments.
Not necessarily. So if somebody says something on their initial comments that we disagree with, you're right that we can reply on the reply comments. But I think what Commissioner Christman was referencing is we don't say anything on initial. Somebody says something on their initial and we reply, then we kind of get the last word, where if we say something on initial, they get an opportunity to reply on the reply comments, and then we're just kind of done until the actual proposed rulemaking comes out, and then we can, you know, see how they handled it, and we could comment then and say, well,
I mean, we're not one and done.
Right. But
I guess my only concern is, and I might have to look into this, but I don't know if responses are limited to matters that were brought up in initial comments. So if that's the case, it could narrow our scope of what we could speak to, but I don't know. I'd have to look into that, but there is the potential for that. I think if we wait till the end, and the scenario you just laid out, Commissioner Christman, is if somebody rebutted incorrectly and we didn't have a chance to respond, I think they're, especially given our desire to at least give notice of intervention, that's probably something we could attack later through the process as well.
And maybe that is a point for filing them early. Like I said, I just don't have strong feelings on it because I'm not any kind of expert on the FERC comment process.
Mm-hmm. One other point I forgot to mention as I was going through this, there is kind of an underlying tone of this could step on our state authority toes. Mm-hmm. There's been that suggestion by numerous groups that this is outside of FERC skis, past where their authority should end.
Do you guys, you know, this isn't the first time this reality has ever been before us. We're a very small agency. I don't know how much time it takes to write something, you know, in the forms that they expect things in for FERC comments. Do you have time to do a good job of, I mean, you just shared some thoughts that I think I'm sensing we all kind of shared your concerns as you explained them. Mm-hmm. Do you have time to prepare those comments in a week?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to write a novel. It's not going to be 20, 30 pages, but I mean, we can throw together
a well-written,
You know, five
a,
maybe
a haiku as opposed to a novel.
Yes, yes, it's a great example.
I would prefer the word craft as opposed to throw together, but we could craft a response appropriately or initial comments.
Yeah.
Well, we have no idea where FERC is at either.
Right.
I mean, as far as...
Yep. And that is a fair point. I mean, just the way this came out, the DOE submitted this to FERC prepackaged. I mean, FERC didn't write this ANOPR.
Yep.
The DOE did.
And, yeah.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and prepare a draft? And
so, since they're doing the 14th, obviously we're not going to have another meeting before then. Would one of you like to work with us on developing the initial draft that we'll send out to the three of you before we get it filed?
I know that, and Randy, I don't know, it sounds like from your earlier comments that SPP is not doing stuff, like it's all up to the individual states. They're not doing anything.
I don't, if it was ever clarified as far as what the corporation is doing, I don't recall that. So I expect they are, but sure. I don't know that they are.
Yeah.
I would expect they are too.
Yeah.
The RSC did not draft something up for the, however many of the 13 states want to sign.
So my understanding is MISO is going to be filing something on behalf of MISO. This is a topic of discussion with him in OMS, so I anticipate OMS will be engaging as well. So staff from that side is already involved. So if it's helpful to expedite, because they're working on it on the OMS side, if they just want to coordinate with me, and then we can get that out to everybody by the 14th, I'd offer that up if it's helpful.
Okay with you. So.
Okay. Sounds great.
Anything else on that? Anything else for discussion? Anything for scheduling? We had nothing on the agenda, but we can add. And Victor, since I didn't use your acronyms, I'll consider trying to do a better job at our next RCM. With that, we are adjourned.